Got a great little bumper video there with a little superhero bit. I want to just take a moment and welcome you. If this is your first time with us, it is our joy to be able to worship alongside of you. I want to share about a family that has been important to me. So this past weekend, or this weekend that we're in, Big Gordy is what I called them my whole childhood, but Big Gordy and Miss Kathy celebrated 50 years of marriage. When they got married, they had no idea how in the world God would use their marriage. They ended up having two kids, little Gordy, who I grew up with, and Joel. And what is really remarkable about them is that they were, you know, faithful to the Lord, sought the Lord, went to smaller churches, and they didn't have any kids or children's programs. And so what they did is they ended up taking that on as their role, volunteering in a local church, and ended up, as a result of Gordy and Joel, just really making a difference in a bunch of kids' lives, using the friendships of their sons to do this. I became one of those kids. And so because I was part of a cool church where I was at First Baptist Church Clearwater, me and a group of friends, Gordy being one of them, we would go to whatever church had the latest youth thing going on, and whoever went, we just went to each other's churches. But what was great is this couple saw that God was doing something in my life that I didn't even know he was doing at the time. And they invested into me, and they had this opportunity to go to San Antonio, Texas. And mind you, I'd never been out of the Southeast in my life at this point. It was the summer of 1994, and God in his grace saw fit for me to go. And it was in San Antonio, Texas, in July of 1994, that I surrendered to gospel ministry, all because of the example that God used in providing Gordy and Kathy Leopard in their marriage to model faith for me. For 50 years they have committed to pointing people to Jesus. They planted churches. They've done so many things through their marriage, and God has provided as a result of that. I share that to say we never know what it looks like when we trust the Lord to provide for us. We never know that little bit of faithfulness, even through a marriage, how God can bless that marriage to do miraculous things. And here I am as one of the examples of God's faithfulness in the life of Gordy, Big Gordy, and Miss Kathy Leopard. And I share that because many of you in this room are like on that verge, on the ledge, so to speak, waiting to jump off into something that God is calling you to do. And he's just asking for you to trust him. Some of us are at that verge of trusting him because we're in something, a hard season in our life, and we don't know what to do. And so whatever it is, the thing that we're going to learn today from Jochebed, that's her name, by the way, which is a great name. If you're pregnant and you're going to have a girl, Jochebed is on the list. Nobody else is going to use it. First grade's going to be so easy for that daughter. But this story really is about a person, a woman who's decided to trust the Lord despite what she saw in and around her in her life. And so a few things just as a background. As we're going through this series called Uncommon, we're talking about really the uncommon God who works through ordinary people like me and you. That's the storyline here. The other thing, too, that's important about this is a descriptive story describing what God has done. It is not prescriptive, meaning some formulaic approach that you and I should take from this. If anything, the only thing we take from this is that we've got a God that we can trust, and we need to trust him. What that looks like in your life, you may not have a story where you have to put your kid in a basket and put them down in the Nile River. Chances are that's not going to happen in your lifetime. Just going out on a limb there, and it's a pretty firm limb. But that's not going to happen, but there will be a moment that necessitates that you trust the Lord to do an uncommon work in your life. How we get here to this story. The latter, like, 13 chapters of the book of Genesis tells of this guy named Joseph, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who happened to be one of the favored sons of Jacob, and as a result of that, like, he had these gifts from the Lord where he can interpret and understand dreams, and he would have dreams, and he kind of used that as something to hold over his brother's head as a result of his dad's favoritism as well. So he kind of leveraged that a little bit as one of the annoying little brothers that none of you in this room have ever been. I have, but you haven't. And so held that over their heads, and as a result, one day they got to where they were just bored with it. And they're like, hey, we're going to take this guy out and we're going to act like he's dead and we're going to sell him into slavery. And that's what they did. So they took him out, told the dad that he was killed by an animal, and just kind of moved on with life and didn't think anything of it. Well, he gets sold into slavery, goes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife is trying to get to know him a little better. We'll say it that way. And he runs from her, but she makes up a story, gets him put in prison, and then he's there, meets two other guys, and hopes that the two other guys, after he tells and interprets their dreams, that they would go and throw him a bone. And finally, years later, one of them does, and he gets an audience with Pharaoh, tells Pharaoh his dream and understands it, interprets it, and then he gets to be second in command in Egypt, and God uses and leverages that moment in order to, like, save a whole generation of people through providence. Well, his brothers are part of that union one day. They come because they need food because there's a famine in the land. They go to their brother, and instead of the brother, like, taking them out and repaying them and retaliating, showing revenge, he ends up showing grace and kindness, weeps, and they reunite. He gets to see his dad again. And then after his dad's death, the brothers are like, he's going to pay us back now. And then he makes this uncommon statement. He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, for the saving of all these people. And so his perspective is awesome. So for 400 years, that group of people, that family, those 12 sons who have sons and daughters and sons and daughters and sons and daughters for four centuries, finally they're at a place where the new king, the new Pharaoh, has no idea who Joseph is, and so he doesn't care about the provision for those people, that family group, and sees them as a threat. And so what he does is he makes a decree, like, hey, any of these Hebrew boys, because they're going to outnumber us, we need to start taking the boys out, the men out. And so whenever there was a boy, they were going to have him killed. He asked the midwives to do it, but the midwives rejected it and said, we're not going to do that. And so they made this statement, these Hebrew women, when they go in labor, they don't wait for us. And so they just have these babies. So that's where we get to. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to check out this story with me. And it's really about this woman named Jochebed who's pregnant. We find her pregnant and how she responds. Notice this in Exodus 2. This is what Dwayne read a moment ago. It says, now a man from the house of Levi, real quick, Levi and the Levites, which is mentioned in a moment, of Jochebed. This is one of the sons of Jacob. There was Joseph, like we mentioned, right? And Levi here, okay? Levi, that family line was responsible later through Aaron, Moses' brother, to be a priest, a high priest of the Lord. This family line, that was their responsibility, okay? Well, awesome stuff. What a priest would do is they would represent God to man and man to God, and they would intercede on behalf of God's people, okay? He went and took as his wife a Levite woman. This is Jochebed. And the way we get her name is in a few chapters it's mentioned, and also in the book of Numbers it's mentioned. It's an awesome name, like I said. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, which we'll understand in a moment, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. So, kind of normal stuff, what moms do. Moms do what moms do. She makes this bassinet, puts her son in it to save him, and puts him in the river. Total normal stuff, right? You guys have done it a dozen times. Okay. And here's the neat thing. Verse 4, and his sister Miriam, who we find out later, who's 10 years older than him, stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother, which is also her mom, Jochebed, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So if you're paying attention at home, all of a sudden she went from trusting God to putting him in a bassinet up the river. Sister follows along. Pharaoh's daughter, who made this edict, right? Remember, he's the one that made this edict to take him out, is the one who finds him. And then that Pharaoh's daughter is paying his own mom to care for him. Like, if you're tracking, watch this. So the woman took the child, nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Now, this is a wild story, I agree, okay? But this story, in this moment of trust that Jochebed had, and Miriam in her audacity had, is one of God's grace and goodness, and it is uncommon. The thing that I want you to see, too, is when Jochebed does this, she's risking her life, she's risking Moses' life, Miriam and Aaron's life, and her husband Amram. Her whole family could be taken out as a result of this one moment in time where she trusted the Lord, but God came through. The other thing that we see is she had faith for her whole family. She trusted that God was able to do greater than she could see in the moment. Hebrews chapter 11 says this in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. That word beautiful meant that that kid was different. It was set apart. There was something about this particular baby, different than her other babies, that this child was called for something. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. In other words, they trusted and had so much faith in God over what Pharaoh said that they were willing to risk everything to do the right thing. Did you hear that? To risk everything to do the right thing in trusting the Lord. Many of us in this room are not willing to do the same. Many of us can say, academically, we would say the right things. But to risk everything to do the right thing and trust in the Lord, many of us would probably bow out from that. Well, Jochebed was a woman who saw beyond the moment. She didn't let the moment or the circumstance dictate how she was going to respond. She saw beyond the fear that she faced, and she saw the value and potential of her infant child. Now, here's what's super powerful about those 10 verses and really chapter 1, where Pharaoh's trying to undermine and take out this whole group of people by taking out all the male sons, is he's so focused on taking out the male population of these babies that he missed something important. Okay? He didn't think about the women, because the women are the ones that God uses in this story. Think about it with me. First of all, God worked through the midwives who said, we are not going to take out these babies. Those women said, we reject that edict. The second thing is, Jochebed, who had this baby boy, hid him for 3 months, and she worked against the king's edict. Then we see it was his sister who tracked along and made sure her little brother was safe who was there. It was his own daughter, Pharaoh's own daughter, that spoke up for this boy that she knew was a Hebrew boy and kept him alive, basically flying in the face of her father's decree. He was so worried and looking after the men to undermine his authority. It was actually the women who did it and made the story different by trusting the Lord. And as they trusted the Lord, what happens is 80 years later, it was that little baby that was saved through this moment that changed the course of their history that we still benefit from today. That's powerful. Now, that's boots on the ground. Now, let's go to a bigger understanding. Let's look from above at God's sovereign care of this moment. Just think about it. You've got a baby that survives going down a river in a basket. That's crazy town, okay? Number two, you have this baby being at the right place along the banks of the Nile River at the same time that Pharaoh's daughter is bathing. That's crazy. You've got his sister tracking along and being ready to step in. You've got what's powerful to think about. It says that as soon as she picked the baby up, Okay? The baby starts crying, and that crying gave her pity for this baby. All this in God's sovereign grace at the right time. And then that little baby has a biological mom whose sister happens to be right there at this time and suggests that his own mom could nurse this baby. All this is just showing how God in his grace, once Jochebed trusted the Lord, God in his sovereign grace provided for them. Trusting the Lord, okay, here's the key that we, you and I as brothers and sisters need to apply. Trusting the Lord despite seeing how it's going to work out. Anybody besides me struggle with trusting the Lord when you don't understand what he's going to do? Okay, three of us, awesome. We'll talk later. Goodness, it is so hard sometimes to trust. And here's what's great, is Jochebed trusts the Lord and his provision, and in that, you and I, as brothers and sisters, can take away that and apply that to our life. The faith of Jochebed, here's what's great. I want to say it again. It altered the course of a nation, a whole group of people. The promise that God made to Abraham follows through. Her faithfulness in this moment in time that God uses sovereignly 80 years later to deliver a group of people out of like slavery. Think about this. Because she said, I'm going to redeem and save this one child of mine despite what I see in and around me happening. So here's where I want to put this in your lap. If you and I want to trust the Lord, if that's our desire in life, and I hope it is if you're a follower of his, is that you trust the Lord. It will require you to look beyond the moment that you're in. Many of us, what happens is we get into a moment, and that moment seems to be the ultimate moment, and everything else is blurry around it, and we are hyper-focused, hypersensitive on all the pain and all the setback that that moment has in its potential, that we forget to look beyond that moment at a God we can trust. To give you an example, 10 years ago last week was the first time that me and Aaron got to visit Lindale, Texas. We came in for an interview with the church staff that we had here at the time. We were serving for a short stint, 6 months, in Las Vegas, Nevada, after we left a great church in North Florida where we got to see God do some great things. And we thought, this is going to be this cool opportunity to go to Las Vegas, Nevada and share the gospel and just do this work there and just be so faithful. This is where Aaron was born. It's going to be great. And we trusted the Lord. We had five bigger kids then, age 2 and up, and we had a 5-day-old baby, and we drove across the country because we thought God was going to do something amazing through our time in Las Vegas. Well, after 6 months, we realized that we weren't a fit, and so my wife is teaching school online. That she was the breadwinner at that moment because I wasn't at the church, and I was folding T-shirts off of the Vegas Strip. And we were sitting there, and I remember the moment in time where I looked across the kitchen at her, and instead of complaining and whining, and we decided in that moment that we were going to seek the Lord like we never had before. And we had opportunities for other churches that popped up in some great places, but God said, wait, and we waited. And then June of 2015, we came and visited this church. Chris Witt showed us around. If you know who he is, he's awesome. And God brought us here, and we have so benefited because we trusted the Lord. We have got to see God use you guys, this church body, in such a way in our lives, in providence and encouragement, like that we never anticipated. We got to see you guys that serve in our local school system, coaches and teachers, invest in our kids and make our kids better in a way that we never could have as parents. All because we decided in that moment, in that kitchen in Las Vegas, Nevada, to trust the Lord. If you're going to trust the Lord, it will require that you look beyond the moment that you're in. It will require that you look beyond the potential fear that you would have. It will require that you look beyond your past mistakes. Many of us want to trust the Lord, but we've got these things in our rearview mirror of all the mistakes that we've made. And that renders us ineffective to trust God's goodness. You need to know that God in His grace has forgiven you of those things, and it's calling you from them, that you just need to trust them. If you're going to trust the Lord, it will require that you look beyond your feelings. Many of us in this room, we are gripped, like rendered like useless by our feelings. Our feelings mislead us. If you're going to trust the Lord, it will require that you go beyond the potential failures and shortfalls and pitfalls that you may encounter. If you're going to trust the Lord, it will require that you look beyond the opinions of other people. Because sometimes those other people don't mean harm, but those people who are trying to be nice or just trying to help bail you out of a hard situation, okay, when really the thing you need more than anything is to go through the hard situation, because it will demand that you trust the Lord like you never have before. And that's a good thing. If you're going to trust the Lord, it's going to require that you look at God's word like never before. It's going to require that you are reminded of who He is and what He's done, that you so know His word and so know His character. It's going to require that you seek Him in prayer and surrender your life to Him over and over again, because we have this tendency of wanting to take back when really the best thing we can ever do is to fully submit and surrender to His lordship and control over our life. But here's the crazy question. What difference would trusting the Lord make in your life if you really trusted Him? Many of us have done the work like John just made public, where you trust the Lord to save you, when really that is a big amount of trust. That's your whole life. But for some reason, these little compartments that we create as we get older, we don't think that the Lord can be trusted for those things. What would be different in your life if you truly trusted the Lord with everything? How would your finances look if you trusted the Lord? How would your relationships look if you trusted the Lord? What would be different in your life if, like Jochebed, you trusted the Lord? And the thing I love, when 50 years ago, Big Gordy and Kathy said, "I do" to one another, they had no idea how their marriage would alter other people around them. They were just in love. They just wanted to spend more time together. They had no idea that it would alter the course of so many other young people's lives by them just being a faithful husband and wife. Jochebed had no idea, had no clue. All she wanted to do was to care for her baby boy, because she saw that something was different. You have no idea how God in His grace can take your trusting Him to do something remarkable beyond comprehension in your life if you would just be willing to trust Him. So my question final is, will you trust Him? Completely. Will you trust Him? And so what I want to invite you to do as a brother and sister, as a friend of mine, if you would just take a moment, and I'm going to pray over you, but if you would pray before the Lord and say, "Lord, help me trust You. Help me really trust You. Help me look beyond circumstances. Help me look beyond the moment. Help me look beyond the opinions and fears. Help me look beyond all that and just trust You to be who You are." I invite you to do that. And I honestly invite you to do that every day of your life. And just wait and see what God will do when you trust Him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You so much for this moment in time where we as brothers and sisters get to be reminded of this uncommon work You did in Jochebed's life when she decided to trust You. Father, I am grateful of just Your providence in my life, using people like Gordy and Kathy just to model faith, just to care enough for a little poor boy from the valley. Lord, I am grateful for moments that are really hard that caused me and Aaron to trust you. Lord, each of us in this room have something somewhere in our life where we just need to completely trust you to be who you are. And I just pray that your spirit and power would help us open our white-knuckled grip on our life and release it and trust you to be you. Father, we thank you for this and trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing.